I usually try to make one of those something that makes me sound stupid, which I have plenty of material for that, so.
Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to K-Pop Shenanigans. This is the June episode part two. Last time around, we did the news of YG stepping down and the first four songs that really caught all of our attention in the month of June. This time around, we're meeting to talk about the second half of songs that we all agreed we need to talk about, as well as the 60 seconds for everything that somehow did not make our final list. And I am lucky enough to be joined by all of our lovely co-hosts on this episode. I'm going to start with Zach, our lovely editor. How are you doing, man?
About the same as when you asked me before, only we've recorded 2 hours of podcast in between.
You know, man, there's this magical thing called the listeners haven't heard anything from us in a week. There's this, who knows what we've been up to in that time? Or, you know, it's just you're the mystique here. There's just no appreciation for it. I see.
Remember,
how it is. Okay.
I'm the heel of this podcast.
I should have gone to the other people first. I learned my
you
lesson.
You really should
one.
Have. You,
Kristen,
you always go to me last in these. Why'd you change now?
Man, we all make mistakes in this world of ours. Kristen, how are you feeling heading to the second half of this?
You know what, Chase? I'm feeling great.
Oh, well, thank you.
I would have got along with it, just
thank
so you,
you
know.
I appreciate that. Shay, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for the 60 seconds.
You're already looking ahead past the songs we have left. I love it. Okay, well, we are going to get to those songs now. We have four more songs of the songs we all want to talk about, and then those 60 seconds, which are going to have a lot of things that I think most of us would have been happy to talk about, but one person making sure we cast that vote down. It should be interesting to see how all that breaks down. But we start with a song that was interesting for me to see because I had my concerns about this group and where they were heading before this single came out. This is SF9 RPM.
It's not a single. They have a whole album. I have it.
Okay. Yes, it is an album, but the video was released as a single. I guess I should be more specific in my terminology, and I appreciate the correction. This is from SF9's latest album. RPM is the name of the single.
For once, I'm not the pedantic one?
I know. This is really, I am surprised as well. We found who the SF9 fan is, by the way, on the podcast. If you couldn't tell which of the four of us was the one most excited for SF9 talk, that's the one. There's your hint. So we're going to go to Shay last, which means I'm going to go to Kristen first. Kristen,
no.
What are your thoughts on RPM?
Please don't.
Too late. Already happened.
I just really hate going first, especially on boy groups.
And yet this is the
I really
out.
Liked this. This is kind of on the other end of the spectrum from NCT Dream that we talked about earlier. And I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of boy groups that commit to going hard and do it 100%. And I really enjoyed it. The song grabbed me. I feel hooked by it. I feel like I'm gonna become an SF9 fan really soon, and I've got some listening to do.
Yeah, I think it's a fun song as well. I'll get into my thoughts a little bit more in a bit, but first I want to hear from Zach, another person who isn't necessarily known for a ton of thoughts on boy group stuff, but you marked down this one, and that I find I can't wait to hear why. What did you have in mind? What are your thoughts on it?
I should take that quote of where you said I'm not known for a lot of thoughts and just cut it off there. Remove all the context from it and just wear that as a badge of pride. I'm not known for a lot of thoughts.
But that's the exact opposite of what Chase is known for. He's known for having all the thoughts.
I'm going to hold my tongue.
Too many thoughts, one might say. One could make the argument. But yeah, Zach, what's on your mind with this one?
If I'm recalling this correctly, SF9 is managed by FNC?
Yes.
Okay. Because they've mostly been known for boy bands, by which I mean actual bands.
Yes.
SF9, I think, is one of their first like dance groups in the boy groups. And I'm going to continue to be the villain and ruin some of the miracle and point out that if I had not just rewatched this video 5 minutes ago, the entirety of what I would have been able to say is, oh, they look like laser tag astronauts in this video.
I was getting serious Tron vibes.
Yeah, it was like, that was the main thing I could think of in this. And then I watched it again and I'm like, how did I forget the breakdown and the dance break there? I don't quite know how I forgot that part. And my brain keeps trying to force some sort of connection between this song and tempo, but I think that's only because RPM is almost BPM.
Yeah.
And so my brain is just getting all sorts of wires crossed. But look, I may not be known for having a lot of thoughts on boy groups in particular, but one thing that can almost always win me over is the dancing. Not that girl groups don't do as well of dancing, but there is a different style the boy groups have in a lot of places that the girl groups don't. And you have a good break, mm-hmm. dance break like they did there. And I'm like, okay, sometimes I can be a very, very easy sell on things. You got me.
I mean, and I do think that dancing is something that stands out to me here. I've started appreciating it more and more thanks to Stray Kids and how hard they go with their dancing. It does stand out to me as a sign of this is a boy group that knows how to perform, that knows how to throw all of themselves into the thing that they're working on. And I do think that it's contagious. I do think the energy behind this song as a result is a lot of fun. I really have wanted to love SF9 again for a while. SF9 was one of the first groups that Shay showed me, and I liked their first set of singles. Fanfare was one of my favorite songs for a while, and it just felt like everything they'd done since then was good, but it didn't quite get me. Now or Never didn't ever quite click with what I had in mind, and enough felt disposable in a field in which so many boy groups had just gotten better. And I thought to myself, I don't know what they do that would be what I am interested in and would not feel like a lighter version of Stray Kids. And then they released this, and I get it now, because they have the same energy, they have the drop, they have the intensity, but then they could always get something that's a little bit more smooth, that has a little bit more of that more, I guess, lyrical style almost, where it goes from the break and then goes into a more traditional chorus, all as one cohesive whole. I don't know any other song that off the top of my head that does it and blends it quite as well as that. And I do think that makes it stand out. This is my favorite SF9 song in a long time. Whether or not it overtakes Fanfare, it's hard to say. But I think this is a jolt in the arm to a group that I felt needed one. But we have someone on this podcast who has been with SF9 for far longer and far more passionately than I have been. And so I want to give the floor now to you, Shay. What were your thoughts on RPM?
I love SF9. They're really good in concert. That's when I first got into them. I love RPM. I felt like I was sampling with you. I actually really loved Oso y Mio a lot too. But they used to go really hard, and then they started slowing down and doing the more like smoother. They really embraced that smoother side. Like, I like Now or Never. It's a similar like kind of like sexy kind of thing where I think of like Blood, Sweat, and Tears, where they're really like, let's just slow it down and be smoother. But that I still got me, and then they got to Enough, and I was like, oh no, you went too far. You've gotten too far away from what I want, where you go really hard, you throw yourself into it. Also, Suho, well, he got hurt and wasn't there for Enough performance-wise, so I was really happy to see him again because he has that deep, gravelly voice that I miss a lot. It shows up in a lot of some of my favorite songs from them early on, like Jungle Game or Fanfare. I just thought I really like it. I watched the suit dance version of it, too, because it does... The video itself looks like laser tag astronauts, you're right. I love their dancing. I was just so confused because I was like, oh, is that the Infinity Stone? Is it also a bomb? Your hair, like, Hwiyoung's hair is still too long, but that you still look really good. Like, this, I'm just glad you're going back to where you go hard. Like, what Shay says, they have that intensity to them. It does. I got the same thing as, like, I was scared when it was called RPM. That's like, don't try and compete with EXO. Just please don't. But no, it's different for me. And I'm so happy. I'm happy they started to go hard again. I felt like The astronaut laser tag was a little questionable, but the song's good enough that I'll look past it.
See, I liked that.
Okay.
I don't know why. I like weird where you go for something and it's like, does this make any sense? No, but let's do it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like weird, but I'm like, EXO did weird with tempo, and I was just like, oh, EXO. And here I was like, weird, but I'm like, it wasn't quite cohesively weird enough. They threw a little, like, just one too many things in it for it to be completely cohesive in its weirdness to me. But I get it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I'm just so happy to hear them go hard again. It's been too long.
This is what they needed. I'm glad we got this as well. I liked the aesthetic choices of it here. I think of all the songs that we have in this section, it is the one that probably got the least attention because SF9 is clearly trying to build up to maybe some of these other groups. But I do think that they're worth your time and attention. And I do think that this song is a great reason as to why. And I'm glad that Shay, who has loved them for a very long time, gets the comeback that he has been waiting for.
I have waited so long.
We're going to move on to Zimzalabim by Red Velvet. Zimzalabim, for those of you wondering, is a word like abracadabra. It's just a magical phrase associated in that regard. I have strong feelings about this song. And it turns out all of the internet has strong feelings about this song. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the most divisive song that Red Velvet has ever put out. And they put out Really Bad Boy last year. So I have a lot of strong thoughts. I want to start, though, with Kristen. But you went first last time. That seems like I'm picking on you then. So it's going to have to be Shay.
Yeah.
Shay.
I can start. This is the trend, I guess, for the songs we're talking about in this podcast for June. I didn't want to finish this song either. I got past the intro when she, like, everything. I like Red Velvet. I like circuses. I was like, this is going to be so cool. And then they did their intro, and she said the title of the song, and I paused the video because I was like, no, I don't want to hear anymore. It's just, I don't like this song at all. It's so, everything about, I wanted to like it so bad, but I don't. It's just annoying to me. There's been a lot of songs on this. Apparently, it's been very annoying to me, but I was talking with a friend who said it probably should have been an FX song. It would have worked a lot better if it was an FX song. I just don't. It's just so annoying. There's a lot of parts of this song that I personally find great on me. I don't know if I've actually listened to it all the way through in one sitting because it's. I need to take it in doses. They also look a little weird. They look. I think I like the weird aesthetic on Red Velvet. SM fashion. They have questionable clothing choices. I liked all the bright colors. It's some classic SM fashion here for me, where it's like you didn't need everything in the kitchen sink, but SM did.
Yeah, I remember our mutual friend who made that point about this being an FX song. My response was that this is the song that FX would have written and then said, nah, it's not quite ready. It's not really finished. We have better songs. We'll just kind of put this to the vault and not worry about it. And then Red Velvet's like, yeah, here, we'll take it. We'll take this thing that maybe did not quite survive the editing / quality control process this time around. I hate this song is what I'm trying to say. I hate this song. I hate it so much. It's really not good. And I just...
It's really not.
The chorus is just pounding your brain over and over. They're just going to say the same word until it gets lodged deep into your skull. And it's not like they haven't had super repetitive choruses before. Red Velvet is notorious for having songs with really repetitive choruses at times. And there are some of them that I have really enjoyed. I have no problem with, you know, things like Ice Cream Cake or Bad Boy or whatever. Like, you can, even Really Bad Boy, I got over there eventually. Peekaboo, I know, can be controversial. I can get behind it. But this it's not just pounding your skull with the repetition. It's pounding your skull with a beat that's just, it makes me, like, seasick is not quite the right word, but something close. It just sounds so dissonant that it's really echoing that repetitiveness in a way that feels like it's trying to beat you into submission rather than something that's trying to catch into your head and be this earworm that sticks around. So it's stuck in my head. I will never forget this song. But at what cost, Red Velvet? At what cost is how I kind of feel about it. I want to take it over to Kristen, though. Maybe you'll be kinder to this than I am. What were your thoughts on Sin Zelibim?
No, I will not be kinder to this song. I just feel so disappointed in Red Velvet because I really love what they've been putting out. I love what I've heard of them. And this song, I just, yeah, by the chorus, I just was like, no, I hate this. I hate this so much. Why are you doing this? I know what they were going for, and it's been successful in other iterations and other groups, but it is just, it is not working. Also, who styled this f***ing video? The hair is trash. The hair is so bad. The outfits are terrible. It's so, like the pseudo dreads, weird braid pigtails. Why? I can't. I'm sorry. I'm getting shrill and I can't help it because it's just so bad.
Yeah. I can't disagree with anything you said. This is an 0-3, but we turn now to Zach. Zach, the Red Velvet fan, the one who's been with this group for longer than the rest of us. What do you have to say? Do you agree, or are you on the side of the people who have made this one of Red Velvet's most successful songs ever? Because I do think we have underestimated and understated that point. They have more show wins on this song than almost any other that they've put out there, and it's sitting at 32.6 million views right now. So everything saying is about a song that is absurdly popular even by Red Velvet standards. So are we crazy, Zach, or is everyone else crazy?
So I have sat here on mute since we started talking about this, and everything has gone almost exactly the way that I have expected it to. This was honestly, I don't know if this is what I was hoping for, but this is what I was expecting. Because I fucking love this song. I love this song. I don't know, I guess I can kind of, here's the thing. The thing that comes to mind, the problem with trying to get across a lot of these things is that a lot of the stuff that people don't like about this song are the things that I like about this. It is weird. It is bizarre. It is everything all at once, held together by string and a wish and maybe some chewing gum and maybe some tape that's really lost most of its stickiness. And it's like this thing is just barely holding together. And honestly, When you were saying, I think Chase, you said that you things that like being overly repetitive and or who called it grating? Somebody called it grating. I don't remember who that was.
Yes, the answer was several of us, I think.
But honestly, within like almost immediately after watching this, like I watched it early in the morning, then had to go somewhere and came back, and I was working. I had to work on writing something. I just started looping the song because something about this just clicks with my brain. And I have some, it's very, very hard for me to tell you this is exactly why it is. This is what this is. And I don't know. It's hard to really say, you know, it's just this thing. It just works with me in some way. It is not, I don't think it's my favorite Red Velvet song, but it is up there with these. Now, go ahead and disagree with me all you want. I am used to being the odd one out on everything. You know, there are so many times that I will come into a group and I will find a song and I love this song and everyone's like, we hate this song. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is awesome. That's the feeling that I have towards this song. See, I feel like people calling it polarizing is a very odd term because I did not see many people that agreed with me. I remember looking through our K-pop the day this came out. And I was just like, okay, I seem to be one of five people that liked this song.
He hasn't done really well. Like Chase was saying, he was
it's done incredibly well. Like,
yeah. And somehow.
Yeah. So like someone out there really liked, oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. I feel like, no, you know what? I'll let you go and then I'll make my final point.
I'm not entirely sure where I'm going with this even, because just, I don't know. I love this song. I just, it works for me in a way that I have trouble putting words to. And I basically expected that I was going to be alone on this. Like, there was part, I tried to stay as quiet and like, nope, I'm not going to say anything. Even after the draft, we were talking, yeah, Chase, you were talking to somebody about it. And I heard you call it a disaster. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. We thought I was the villain before. Apparently, I'm the villain now.
This song is, you know, the consensus. It's exactly what happened in Birthday by Somi, except the opposite from the first part of this month's episode.
Yeah.
It's won 4 shows. It's continuing to be very popular. It's likely to win even more from the projections that people have right now. I do not want to act like the fact that this is a 3-1 vote on this particular show means that those of you who agree with Zach are necessarily in the minority. Though I will say, I also remember a song with which I had some significant problems and was not the only one on this show to feel that way, in which the fans doubled down after people gave it a negative response and therefore pushed it to be even more successful than one might have expected. I'm looking at you, I'm So Hot by Momoland, which went from a like to dislike ratio of about 3-1 to something like 11-1 if you look at it today. The fans, when they feel like their group is under attack, will double and triple down. And though there are a lot of people who did not care for this song, there are a lot of people who will now profess to loving this song and very much disliking all of the people who are disliking it and have been super critical of it. So another one I think it's going to be divisive. I would love to hear what people have to say about it.
I mean, I was about to say, to try and lay claim to, oh, I've loved it since the beginning. And I'm like, great, you're turning into a fucking hipster.
I'm not the only hipster.
Yes. But I mean, you know what? Here's the thing I'm going to say about this at the end of it all. Are you in the minority or the majority and liking the song or hating the song? Who cares? If you love the song, love the song. If you don't like the song, guess what? You can go ahead and just let it go by.
There you go. We are going to move on. This is a song I was not expecting to come out so soon after their last comeback and some of the performance videos they've been putting out. Stray Kids, Side Effects is the new single here. I have been really enjoying everything Stray Kids has put out so far. Mira was one of my favorite songs of the year when it first came out and still, I think, would be up in that upper echelon. But Side Effects here, kind of flying in the face of what we think of as a traditional summer song. So I want to start with you, Shay. What were your thoughts when you heard Side Effects?
I really like Side Effects, honestly. I thought it was interesting. I was glad to hear a lot more of Felix because he wasn't going to be in the band originally. I also now have this album, but I was reading something up on some interview that they did, and they were talking, English members were talking about it, and one of the things I thought was interesting was, if I remember correctly, they were talking about some of the like side effects from following their dreams, because being a K-pop star, it does, it's like, it's such an investment, and it's such a, you're going to have to give up a lot of things, or like, if you don't make it, you don't have much experience in anything else. But I really like it. They just go hard. I wrote down they still have like rookie energy, which is something I really like rookie groups, but just that like passion. It's so infectious with them. They go so hard. They always look like they give it their all. They're just so, they have so much energy that I really like. And I loved Miro. I was surprised this one came out so fast too. It's kind of a weird album because there's like mixtape 1, 2, and 3 are 3 of the tracks. But I'm so excited to see them doing so well. Chan's hair looks better. because it was bothering me and Miro, and I'm really picky about that. But yeah, I was very happy with this one.
I'm really happy with how this came out as well. This is, Stray Kids have clearly found their sound. They know what they want to be. They're very happy to have, you know, the hardcore dancing. They're very happy to have the drops on these beats and really engage in that more, you know, I don't want to necessarily say dubstep, but certainly some of those EDM influences.
Yeah.
Really nice breaks in that regard. But then they also do have some really talented singers to balance that out. And it creates a sound that's very much theirs. There's no other boy group that does things quite the way that they do. And it really highlights just how much they can capture you and bring you in on this high energy ride. This song does not care about being a particular summer song. You could have released this any time of the year. It's not trying to be the thing that's going to be on every, you know, pop radio station, whatever, but it is memorable. It is interesting, and it is uniquely theirs and keeps you engaged in a way that I think is going to pay for some really long-term dividends. You watch the way that their views and their standing on all of these different metrics we see on shows has just continued to rise each time. And unfortunately, Zim's Alabim, I think, is going to keep it off from winning too much stuff. But I do think that Stray Kids have very much found their place in this industry, and it's exciting to see what that comfort could mean for them. Zach, again, not a huge boy group fan in general, but this seems like maybe a group that would be more up your alley. What were your thoughts on Side Effects?
Oh, definitely more towards the type of thing I am interested in. This, my first thought when I was just listening to it for the first time was, okay, I was not expecting that. They go really heavy into the electronic stuff in there in a way that's not quite like, yeah, others use electronic, you know, electronic EDM type sounds and things, but they go more for it than most. It does that so much. I don't think it's a song I could listen to very much. Like, I could not loop it. I would be losing my mind within about two, you know, about by the time it gets to the second way through, I'd be like, okay, there is maybe such a thing as too much bass if you repeat it, or, you know, if you try and loop this too much. It's great listening through it. Though I just have a question for them. There are already 9 of you. Why do you need backup dancers? There's scenes with like 20 people in it. And I'm like, okay, this is getting a little crowded. I'm not sure why you need backup dancers, but you know what? Go with it. Whatever you're doing is working. Though there's still way too many of you. There's way too many with all these backup dancers. But it's really good. It's not what I expected, because the lesson they seemed to take from Miro was, okay, turn that dial way the hell up. And I'm like, okay, it works.
Yeah, it does work, and it does come together. I do think that there's this idea with the backup dancers. If we believe the kind of storyline and I guess symbolism of Miro, that they're trying to represent this almost counter K-pop movement, in that they kind of stand out from the crowd, and that they had like the weird like uprising angle of that last one. I may be trying to give them way too much credit for the fact that background dancers just look cool.
Then by that logic, is Miro like supposed to be mirror? They just left off the R. I mean, yes, it's not spelled exactly the same, but they took off the, you know what I mean, M-I-R-O-H. It's almost mirror.
I know what you're saying. I think that would be great for our Miro psychology and philosophy podcast that we're going to be debuting soon, of course.
All 12 seconds of it?
Yes, it's 12. Oh, my God. We should do that on April Fool's Day sometime. It's just all of these joke podcasts that we've made up. We just do like a minute of each of them. But Kristen, we're going to close out with you here. What were your thoughts on Side Effects?
I really love the song. This other end of the spectrum as opposed to soft boy K-pop groups, I love this sort of thing, and I think they do it really freaking well. I was thinking the exact same thing, Chase, when you were saying I don't want to say dubstep but more EDM influences, and it's the drops, the bass, I loved it. I feel like I always talk about things from a visual perspective because I watch the videos more than I do listen to the songs by themselves. And I hate to say this because I understand the narrative and what they're trying and the story of this video, but I felt like the scenes in the sunshine when they were in the van, kind of the car thing in the grass, and then when they're in the sunshine outside of a barricaded area, and then when they're indoors in kind of a space that I would envision more would be utilized in this song, in this type of song. It was, I found that a bit jarring and makes me want to just listen to the song as opposed to listen to the song and watch the music video, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. I have a lot of songs like that. Chase knows.
Yes, I was going to say, there's actually one song that did not make our songs we all want to talk about list that that we had that exact same conversation. You know, like I said, most of the songs I listen to when it comes to K-pop, I am listening audio only for 95% of the experience just because of the nature in which I am able to listen to music. But I may like the video slightly more than you, but I do agree that it's a song that shines whether you watch the video or like the video or not. Definitely go give that one a shot and be ready for Stray Kids to continue to create some awesome stuff because they've clearly found the identity for themselves. And it's really exciting to see where that might lead. We've got one more song left on the songs we all want to talk about.
Ooh,
and I got to tell you,
for this one,
this did not see this coming. Did not know much about any of the people involved. Didn't even know that this was on the schedule. We are talking about Dear Rude by Gia featuring Cheetah. And who are these people for people who have not listened to K-pop for all that long? Because certainly we've never mentioned either of those names on this particular show.
Nope.
Gia was from the Brown Eyed Girls, one of the really early K-pop girl groups that paved the way for what we think of as female K-pop today. Cheetah, meanwhile, has been a Korean rapper since 2010, has done a whole bunch of different stuff. She's been a mentor on shows like Produce 101. She's done, been on shows like Unpretty Rap Star. There's a lot of talent here, a veteran talent, people that have been in the industry for a while and have proven themselves. And I mean, this video is one that has to be the thing that I'm sure we're going to focus on most. I have to imagine. And you know what? We haven't started with you, Zach, on this episode yet. So this is your moment. What did you think of Dear Rude?
Just to set the timeline a little more, Brown Eyed Girls was 2005, so that would be before Wonder Girls or Girls' Generation. So yeah, they go back quite a bit as female K-pop acts go. Now, as for this song, the song is pretty good. I almost don't care. I feel like you could have put damn near anything underneath this video, and I would have loved it. I mean, okay, to mention something that nobody else wanted to talk about, there was that song Nap of a Star by TXT. It was the same thing. That one was a bad song, but a crazy video over it. And yes, I managed to find a way to shoehorn that into this. But this video, it starts off unassuming, black and white. I'm even a little on it because, okay, black and white usually, to my mind, starts to signal you're probably going to go into a ballad very soon. But then she smiles and has fangs, and the video just completely loses its mind. It's like, here, no, there are vampires, and we're going to turn this into a horror movie. And I love this thing. I had no idea this was coming out. Yeah, like I said, the song's good. Cheetah has a good rap verse in it, but just, you made just a weirdly compelling, almost horror movie out of this music video. And it's awesome.
It's really good. It's really fascinating. I want to hear what the rest of my lovely co-hosts have to say about this. Kristen, what? Because you have none of the background details of who these two artists were. What did you think when you saw this one?
I didn't know what to make of it when I saw it. And I feel like I should preface this by saying, like, I really love horror. It's very much my thing. And I can't say I love this video. I can't say I love it. The song is good. I feel like the song is... We're not even going to talk about that right now. I'm, like, honestly, it's just something I'm still digesting it. I'm watching it right now with the sound off, and I'm mesmerized. And that's, I think, that's the testament to how well done it is like, I watched this for the first time like a few days ago, and I just keep coming back to it and I keep watching it, and I think I'm fascinated by it.
It's a fascinating one. Shay, what are your thoughts? What do you want to add to this fascinating video?
Well, one thing that reminded me of was, I'm not positive about this, I should have fact-checked this earlier, but I remember when Dreamcatcher first came out, they were like, oh, they're going for a horror concept. And I was like, oh, and then I saw this and I was like, oh, this is horror. This is what you meant. Like, I am also not, I'm a fan of dark aesthetics. I'm not a big fan of horror. This video honestly creeped me out a little bit. I also just, there's so much just like kind of grotesque elements in this video with the eating. I was mistakenly watching this video while I was eating when I first watched it, and that ruined my appetite. But I just love how weird it is. Like, one thing I do wonder about is who the naked monster is, because in the ending credits, one of them is apparently the naked monster. But it was so fascinating, because I haven't seen anything like this in K-pop before. It's just so, it is mesmerizing. I love Cheetah. I'm glad to see her do something again. Both of the women in this video, or I mean, they're just the performers, musically, in this video. I loved the, like, kind of power you got from them. And, like, with all of these contrasts, like, these monsters and things around, but, like, confidence and the whole, like, I like dangerous women, so I was a little biased in that way, but it was just so different. And then the switch to color later in the video, yeah, it was, I didn't know exactly where it was going with itself when it, like, towards the end, but I liked that it was just, let's release these creatures onto the streets of Seoul.
It's, you know, but she's free. And it's such a fascinating, so one of the things I just want to throw out there, by the way, is that the song itself is also good. Like Gia's a really good singer, and she has a lot of power behind her voice. And I really enjoy having that really pushing the song forward, which for a lot of slow songs, we've talked about that before. That's usually the thing that can kind of get me behind it, is if you're able to, you know, have that kind of just power in your voice to stand out from everything else that's out there. And Gia certainly does. But yeah, I mean, this starts with the descent into black and white, in which, you know, kind of first getting attacked by the monsters, first getting, you know, the grossness of it, and then emerging to almost embrace them with, you know, the balloons for the thing. Cheetah certainly looks very comfortable as she's rapping, surrounded by them and whatever. And then at the end of the video, things turn to color. Gia with this like crown, like this coronation, like radiating this light that pushes all of them back into the shadows as she's left to stand above the rest. There's a lot that can be unpacked here from a visual perspective. There's a lot of symbolism. There's a lot of storytelling here. And I could watch this video another 15 times, and I'm sure I would find even more to it. I wish that I had actually looked up to see if there were any interviews discussing the video, because I feel like this is one with so much depth to it and so many things to enjoy about it. Yeah, I love it. I love the video. I love that someone's throwing these kinds of things out there and doing something that is so wholly different. And I love the song. I think the song itself is good and deserves a lot of that attention and praise that it is in fact getting. So this is one, if you missed it, don't worry. A lot of people did, and it's not too late. And you should definitely go enjoy it yourself.
The song's good, but it's hard to stand out as a song when you're watching people eat human flesh.
You know, I think that's very fair.
You know, cannibalism's great. It's hard to have anything else stand out when it's next to that.
Speaking of sound bites that we should just rip without context and just put out there, cannibalism is great, Zach 2019.
Oh, yeah. I stand by it.
Oh, my goodness. And we stand by this song. Definitely go give that one a listen. And now it's time for the 60-second segments. For once, I'm not too worried about Kristen and Shay having enough to fill the full 60 seconds. Woo boy, do we have a lot of stuff that hasn't been mentioned yet that you're probably screaming at your list like, wait a second, where's this thing? Where's that thing? Well, now's the time for us to talk about
it. It's probably my fault.
Yeah, well, and you know what, Zach? You get to go first. So I hope you've got your 60 seconds ready to go. I've got the timer. Are you ready?
Whenever you're ready.
So I'm going to count you in 3, 2, 1, go.
So I have seen The Promised Land. At this, I was, with all apologies to people who loved I'm So Hot, I like the song too, but Fun by Promise _9, have to point out that's a part of their name. That's the best Momoland song of this year. And I think I'm just going to talk about that because I am way more interested in this song, and I feel somewhat slighted by the fact that this, I didn't get the chance to talk about this, so I feel no remorse about leaving out some other stuff in here. This song is, I mean, it's in the name. It's fun. It's like pure distilled fun. They're just being all weird, crazy, happy, energetic. They have this weird thing of they've renamed every product in the world to have promise in the name in some way. The girls start playing violin, but using their hair instead of a violin because, I don't know, everybody's lost their mind at this point. And the only negative I have to say is there's the weird mention of Ariana Grande in one part that once you hear it, you will never unhear it again. But my God, I love this song.
And that's 60 seconds. Glad you got your chance to talk about it. I do also enjoy that song, and I agree, it is the best Momoland song we got this year. Kristen, 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, I have so much to say.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I have to get this out of the way, even though I want to focus on it. Chung Ha came back with snapping, and she snapped, and I love it, and I love her so much. She's amazing. It doesn't even need to be said. Idol, Redemption from Senorita. I love the look of this. I love the sound. I love the direction that they're going. Leo's romanticism. I just love the extraness of this song and this video. He's laying on the floor and he looks like he's overdosed on perfume bottles. I feel like I have to talk about Promise now because I thought it was just fine. This, I just liked the chorus. That was it. And this is such a song of its moment that 9 months from now is going to look so dated, is how I feel about it. And I have so much more to say. BB, Navi, there's something there, but I think she needs a little bit more maturing.
And I think 80s. You need more time because that's 60 seconds.
God.
Wow.
Yeah, I had 5 more things I wanted to talk about.
That is unfortunate.
Considering that every one of yours up until now has been 40 seconds.
Oh.
Look, this is what happens when somebody cuts so many songs. On both sides.
I didn't even talk.
I didn't get Promise. I feel justified.
Look, you got a minute on Promise. We're going to see a minute now from Shay. Shay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I wanted to talk about ATEEZ because they finally got their first win and I'm really proud of them because they came out in December last year and I really wanted them to get a win, but they came back at really unfortunate times. So I'm glad they got a win in before Red Velvet came back. Also, speaking of collaborations, I really like Monsta X's Who Do You Love? They have paired with, what is his name? French Montana. Their English sounds amazing. I do miss Chunkin, but I just love them so much, and I'm so happy that they're getting more recognition, and they're coming to the States, and I just want them to do the best in the world. Minhyuk also just released a mixtape, which produced by Juhan, one of his bandmates, and it's like an upbeat trot song. It's really silly. I'm really proud of him because he's a sub-vocalist, so he actually you get to hear a lot more of his voice. And it's super silly, and I think that everyone should go give that one a listen to.
There you go, Shay. That's your minute. And now it's time for me to do mine. I will have my 60 seconds on the clock. I cannot believe that these are the decisions that I'm going to have to make here on my timing, but I can't get out of this now. So here we are. 3, 2, 1, go. Man, I can't believe we didn't find room for Uh-Oh by Idol on this list because this is such a good song. I am in love with this song. This might be my favorite idol song of all time. And it's because it's an aesthetic and a vibe that is so perfectly catered to me specifically. You're giving me a 90s hip hop song from a K-pop group that perfectly captures both the aesthetic of it and the sound of it. Shuhwa has lines. Holy crap. She has actual lines. And there is not a single shot in any video that we've seen in 2019 that made me as happy and as just in love as the shot of Soyeon spitting fire into a mic on fire. Also, very clearly learned from Senorita about how having a post-chorus is very good. I only have 10 seconds left, so I'm just going to point out that Chungha snapping is still really, really good because Chungha is very, very good. She can carry just about anything, and snapping is worth your time. And that's a minute. That's a podcast. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. If we didn't get to your favorite song, let us know in the comments or leave a review and then ask us what we think. We love hearing from you guys. Any questions? We'd love to get a Q&A section back up and running. If people have anything they'd like to reach out with, either about something in that month or in general. We're going to continue to do B-sides. Not all of them are going to be as intense as the K-pop girl group draft we did in that we released in June, but we still have plenty of things on the horizon that we cannot wait to share with you. And of course, if you want to hear more from us and all of our opinions on these songs and any other songs that we didn't get to talk about, Zach, where can the nice people at home find you?
They can go to Rambly Badger for the usual Twitter bullshit, and Ravenous Badger for whenever it is I finish projects and post them to the internet.
Awesome. What about you, Kristen? Where can people find you?
They can find me at KPignolo on Twitter or Instagram.
Perfect. And what about you, Shay?
Find me at ShayBum and all my art on either Twitter or Instagram.
Absolutely. And commissions are open as of right now. So definitely go check those out if you're looking for something. And of course, you can find me at Chase Wassenaar, or you can find my stuff where I talk about professional video gaming at Unicorn Co. Or if you want to listen to me just talk gaming and esports and a few other topics, my other podcast is the GGWP. That's the Geeks and Gaming Worldwide Podcast, our brother / sister cast. I'm not sure. You know what? We need like a third option there, a non-gender conforming. What?
Sibling.
A sibling podcast. I guess that's...
That is a word that exists.
Man, you know what? Now you're correct and I look dumb. So it's just really an 0-2.
Hey, that's both counts.
Sibling podcast.
I normally look dumb. So you know what?
We pass it around.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, everyone at home. And until next time, goodbye, internet.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Cannibalism is good. Better be the name of this slayer. I'm going to be very upset.
I mean, there was a certain part of me that was kind of chasing the title. You know what I mean? Where it was like, I had an idea for something. Let me see if this goes over well.
Yeah, I get you. I,
cannibalism's great.